Fully adjusting, though I still miss having people here. So please don't think that we're going to go to e-church. When the Lord allows, we want to gather back together and just enjoy the fellowship together. But this is what the Lord has allowed for now. And so I'm glad you have come to watch our live stream this evening. And I trust that it will be a blessing for all of us. Just before we begin our service with prayer tonight, let me mention that this Sunday, we will again have three live stream events. Mrs. Potter, Jerrion, will again be teaching a class for kids at 9:45. And we are even working on enabling that class to be a little bit interactive. So Lord willing, we'll be able to pull that off so that the children can answer questions and Mrs. Potter can see their answers and maybe respond to them during that class. So we are looking forward to that. Now, we're not going to do that during the morning service. At 10:30, but hope you'll be here for that. And then our evening service will be at 6 p.m. And I do want to say a special thank you to Pastor Potter for all of his work. He is our live stream producer and director. In fact, if we ran credits like they do at the ends of films, you know, it would be producer, Pastor Micah, director, Pastor Micah, cameraman, Pastor Micah, key grip, Pastor Micah, lighting, Pastor Micah, technical director, Pastor Micah. You get the idea. So we really appreciate his efforts in making all of this work. And we do welcome observations and suggestions, things that would make this more meaningful and helpful to you. We can't necessarily incorporate every idea, but those that make sense, if we can be a blessing and do this in better ways, we want to do that. So feel free to let us know. All right, let's go ahead and begin our service this evening with prayer, and then we will get into our study. Our Father, we are thankful for the blessings that we have of technology in our day, such that given the circumstances in our world around us, we can still meet together in this way. Father, I remember reading about the situation back in 1918 with the Spanish flu, and churches did much the same thing. They had to stop having their regular services and distance themselves. And so this isn't something new under the sun, as it were, but it is a blessing that we can communicate with one another. We can broadcast this service in a way that God's people and others can watch. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you for your protection and your care for our church family and for our state at large here in recent days. And Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for those who are at high risk. I pray for those who are experiencing some particularly acute challenges, just given the steps that are being taken to combat this coronavirus. And we pray for your blessing, for your strength, for your grace. And Lord, we're thankful that we can meet together tonight and open your word together. And study that which you have given us, your words, your instruction, the teaching that reveals to us your heart and your mind. And I pray, Father, that we would be challenged, helped, and encouraged as we meet together this night. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So on Sunday, I had mentioned that I was planning to have us start a new sermon series here this evening around the theme of some things never change. You know, our loving Heavenly Father, He never changes. Our Savior never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. And as I was preparing with that end in mind, I was thinking about the hymn that Susie was playing as part of our prelude this evening, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I want to have you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, if you would, please. Lamentations chapter 3. Of course, there's that very familiar text in verses 22 and 23 of Lamentations chapter 3. And great is thy faithfulness really draws upon that, where it says, thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. That's the last expression is that passage I had you turn to here. So let's read Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Jeremiah says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And as I was preparing for this study on things that never change and meditating on that passage, the Lord kept turning my attention to the phrase about the Lord's mercies and compassions being new every morning. And it brought to mind an article that I read a while back that had this title, "Today's Mercies for Today's Troubles, Tomorrow's Mercies for Tomorrow's Troubles." And I couldn't get that idea out of my thinking, so I decided that must be what the Lord would have us to give our attention to tonight. So we'll defer the start of our new series until next Wednesday evening. But tonight I just want to consider this idea that God gives mercy and grace and strength exactly in proportion to our needs at each moment. Another song in our prelude was "Day by Day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here." And you know, as I was kind of singing that song in my mind, the Lord brought to mind another passage, something that Moses said to the tribe of Asher. This was Moses' really last day on earth. He had gathered the nation together, and he knew that he would shortly be just heading up Mount Nebo. And there he was going to die. God was going to take him home to be with him. And so he just was pronouncing a series of blessings on the different tribes of the nation of Israel. And the particular blessing that he gave to the tribe of Asher was this. Deuteronomy 33, verse 24, Moses says, "Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." And then notice this, "as thy days, so shall thy strength be." I think that's what Thomas Chisholm was referring to in the last stanza of "Great is Thy Faithfulness" when he wrote, "strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow." So with that in mind, I've entitled tonight's message, "Strength for Today." Father, we are thankful for these passages that encourage us about the rich and abundant supply of your mercies, your compassions, your strength, your grace, each and every day. I pray, Father, that you would use this time together to encourage us, to strengthen us, to just lift our heads from the worry and concern of the world's circumstances and reflect on what a blessing it is to know Jesus as our Savior. What a blessing it is to have a Heavenly Father who so perfectly provides for us. What a blessing it is to be able to trust in a God who knows everything, can do everything, and cares for us infinitely. So I pray, Father, that you would guide my thoughts and words tonight, and that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and minister it personally and powerfully in the hearts of each person who is listening to this broadcast. Give us, Father, an attentiveness to your word and a heart to trust in it, believe it, embrace it, and by faith obey it. So we ask your blessing on this time together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we, you know, kind of stare down the coronavirus, so to speak, I want us to remember that God is walking with us day by day, moment by moment, the whole time. And he is much stronger than COVID-19. And he is in control. And he gives us grace and strength. And his grace and strength is always sufficient for whatever trials and whatever hardships he allows in our lives. So tonight I want to encourage us again that we really can trust God in this situation. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to panic. We can just simply rest secure in God. And that's going to be true no matter who gets sick. No matter if, you know, I hope this doesn't prove to be the case, but if someone in our assembly should contract the virus, God is still in control and we can just keep trusting him. No matter how many in our country, in our state, in our community, in our world get sick. No matter if the economy tanks, as they say, no matter the restrictions that we may need to abide by in order to curb the spread of the virus, no matter what, we can trust God in this situation. God promises to sustain us. He gives strength, and he gives wisdom, and he gives grace to sustain us, but we need to take it one day at a time. You know, there's just a mindset of walking with the Lord that's about one day at a time. God tells us in His Word, take it one day at a time. Now you say, Pastor, I don't think I remember that verse, okay? Take it one day at a time. I guess I don't either. But that idea is central in all three passages that we're just going to kind of be looking at various points in this message tonight. And for tonight, I have just two simple principles that I want to leave you with. Only two, okay? So very, very simple, straightforward. Here's the first one. Today's mercies are for today's burdens. You know, I mentioned earlier the familiar hymn, Day by Day. It's a Swedish hymn. It's written by a lady named Carolina Sandell-Berg. She went by Lina. And her dad was a Lutheran pastor in Sweden, and she wrote so many gospel songs that she became known as the Fanny Crosby of Sweden. Now, those of you who are regularly a part of our church, you know that that I grew up, my family went to a Lutheran church, and in fact, ours was a Swedish Lutheran church. We had a Swedish smorgasbord every year, and I can still sing Hälsa dem der hemma, Hälsa Forak more if you really pressed me to, okay? So that's the limit of my Swedish, but a little bit there. So that was kind of the background in which I grew up in. And you know, growing up, the hymns that we sang, most of them were different from the hymns that we sing here in our church. But there are a couple that overlap, and one of them is this hymn, Day by Day. And so this is a hymn that's been cemented in my memory from a long, long time ago. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly, its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. And you know, those thoughts are extraordinarily biblical. They are consistent with many principles in the Scripture, including the very things that we are looking at tonight. Folks, the truth is, our magnificently kind God gives us day by day exactly what is best. Sometimes it's pleasure. Sometimes it's painful. He does indeed mingle, you know, toil and trouble with peace and rest. Now, we'd rather He not give us the trouble part. We'd rather He not give us the pain part. We'd rather He not give us the coronavirus part. We'd rather not be diagnosed with cancer. We'd rather not lose our jobs. But whatever happens, it's all from God's loving hand. And we can trust Him. That's always true. But admittedly, it's not always easy. And when God allows painful things, we don't always appreciate it. But He is a faithful God, and He is a loving God, and He is a merciful God, and He is a compassionate God, and He is an all-powerful God. And He brings into our lives what He deems best, even though sometimes it's painful. But He gives us the strength to face it. But here's the thing, folks. He gives us that strength, just the strength that we need today, just what we need for today's trials. Our problem is we want strength for the burdens of tomorrow, and we want that strength today. And so we worry. And this coronavirus thing has given us a lot to worry about if you allow yourself to do it. You know, there are people who are very worried, will I get sick? Or more, maybe more significantly, will my elderly parent get sick? Or will this person that I know who's going through cancer treatments and their immune system is severely compromised, will they get sick? Maybe people are wondering, will I lose my job? Now, there are some of you maybe under the sound of my voice, and you already have, or at least your hours have been significantly curtailed, and your income has been threatened by that. And so we worry about, will I be able to make ends meet? And then there's the economy generally. What's going to happen? And there's all this speculation. And, you know, our investments going to just keep going down in value? Our business is going to have to close? Will there be a bailout? And we get all concerned about all these different things. And my point isn't to say that there aren't unsettling, uncertain things out there. You know? And let me tell you, the pressures from the coronavirus situation are real. Folks, it is a genuine worldwide health concern. Now, as I've said, we don't have to panic and we don't have to be afraid, but neither should we minimize the fact that there's a genuine concern here. You know, there could be some severe, you know, hurt done to people. And so we want to be mindful of that. We want to be submissive to the government's orders to the degree that they're not commanding us to contradict the scripture. And so so we want to be sensitive to that. You know, people have and are dying. But even if you're healthy, you know, the concept of quarantine creates its own pressures. You know, many of you know one of my daughters and a young man in our church are planning a wedding in September. At one point, they were talking about maybe a summer wedding. You know, June weddings are pretty popular. You know, I'll be honest, right now, I'm really glad that they chose September. But even as far out as that is, it's still a little unsettling not knowing how long all of this is going to go on. And we have college students who are anticipating graduating, and they are experiencing, some of them, disruption to finishing up internships or student teaching or board examinations and those kinds of things, and that's real pressure in their lives. And you know, there are all kinds of implications and all kinds of difficulties that have flown from the current state of affairs in our world. Our world is being affected. Our church is being affected, right? That's why you're not sitting here tonight. Why there's just a handful of us here and the rest are at home watching on Facebook Live. Because there are implications to this. And you know, the thought of having an Easter Sunday service without the voices of God's people resonating together in this place is just a really sad thought. Now, God will give us the grace if that's what it comes to. Maybe we'll be able to gather here in a few weeks for Easter celebration. I don't know. I hope we can. I pray that we can. But you know what? We can trust God even if we can't. But it is a pressure. There are things that are disrupting our lives. And folks, here's a dynamic that you may not have thought about. You know, the stay-at-home order has this side effect. It gives you more time to think about things. You know, our busy lives, for many of us, have slowed somewhat. And some of the usual distractions, okay, I'll give you one example that some of you will know what I'm talking about, some of you won't, March Madness. Right? For a lot of people, March Madness is a really big distraction right about now. You know, now, on the one hand, not having that is a good thing. We can choose to invest our extra time in spiritual pursuits and in strengthening the bonds of relationship in our families and all of those kinds of things. But it also creates time for us to think. And here's a reality. Uncertainty plus time to think about it equals, unfortunately, a formula for worry. You know, it just sets us up to worry. And uncertainty is a concept tied to the future, right? I mean, you know, what's today already is, but tomorrow is uncertain. We just don't know. And so when we're given time to kind of think about all the what-ifs, and when we have, you know, the media just throwing at us all the worst possible scenarios, and people are getting concerned, and they have time to think about all those what-ifs, whereas in ordinary life, maybe they would be a little bit distracted by other better things rather than just thinking about that. But given that time, we start to worry. And I want us to see what Jesus says about that in the Sermon on the Mount. I mentioned this passage in the morning sermon the Sunday before last, but tonight I want to focus on just one verse. Matthew 6, verse 34. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." In other words, don't be all concerned and worried about the future, about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And then he says this, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, let me comment on the word that's translated evil, and I've pointed out things like this to us in the past, but just so we're clear, you know, that's a word that can have a lot of range of meaning. If we were to translate it in a really simplistic sense, we might translate it like this, very bad, okay? Something that's really bad. And we use the term bad in a lot of different ways. We talk about a bad storm, a bad cold, a bad day, a bad person, right? And sometimes that bad means morally corrupt. It means evil. It means wickedness. But oftentimes it means trouble, hard circumstances, difficult things. When I have a bad cold, it's not an evil thing. It's a hard thing. It's a bothersome thing. It's maybe a hurtful thing. And so Jesus isn't just saying kind of be content with all the evil, wicked things that are out there. What he's saying is, listen, there is enough trouble today to go around for today. You don't need to welcome tomorrow's troubles into today. You don't need to be worried about what's happening down the road. There is enough trouble, enough pressure, enough difficulties right now, right today. Now, God gives the strength and the grace to deal with that, but don't add more, because he's going to give the grace for what we need today. And when we drag tomorrow into it, you know, God's promised grace is for today. And then tomorrow, he'll give us the grace for tomorrow. That's the point that Jesus is making here in this passage. Sufficient unto the day are the bad things that are happening today. There are enough pressures for today, enough troubles for today. Just stick to today. You know what, folks? If you are not experiencing the symptoms of coronavirus today, then you don't have to be tested. There would be no point. In fact, it would be an improper thing to do, because it would take away resources from somebody who does need testing, for somebody who is experiencing symptoms, and for somebody who perhaps those symptoms could be more seriously threatening to them. So we understand this idea of, you know, I don't need to deal with problems that I don't yet have, even if I might have them. But yet in our minds, that's what we do. We deal with the problems that we don't yet have, that we in all likelihood may never have. Right? There was one lady and someone said, you know, 95% of the things that you worry about and pray about don't happen. And the lady says, well, see, it's really being effective. Right? I don't want those things to happen. But the point is, we don't need to worry about things that haven't happened yet. We just need to take on today. There are enough troubles for today. You don't have to tell your friends that you've been exposed and maybe they should be tested if you haven't been exposed. You know, it would be improper to do that. You know, might that change tomorrow? Sure. And God will give the grace to deal with that tomorrow. But my point is, and there's all kinds of illustrations, but just take whatever steps. Give your attention to whatever it is that God has brought into your life today, and look to him for grace and strength and comfort and encouragement today for those trials today. Don't fill your mind with all the what ifs, with all the tomorrow things. Just look to God for the strength you need today. And he will give it to you if you'll trust him. You know, just as he promised the children of Asher, and as thy days, right? Each day, so shall thy strength be. I will give you the strength you need today and every day. All right, so today's mercies are for today's burdens. That's principle number one. Here's principle number two. Yes, there will be more burdens tomorrow, but God will give strength and new mercies for those burdens tomorrow. Okay, and I put the yes at the beginning of that point because, frankly, our natural response to the first principle is to want to say, okay, I get that there are enough problems for today, but, you know, tomorrow is coming and things may get worse and the problems are real and I need to be prepared. And to that I say, okay, yes, there will be more burdens, different burdens perhaps, tomorrow. But God will give strength and new mercies for those new burdens. And he will do that tomorrow when they come. You know, when you say, okay, but there is these hard things coming, what you're really saying is, so that gives me cause to worry. That's why I'm worrying. See, I'm justifying my worry. I'm rationalizing why I should think about, you know, tomorrow and worry about these things. You say, I have cause to worry. It really is hard times. Well, Jesus says you don't. You don't have cause to worry about tomorrow. He says, deal with today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. You focus on today. You live in the today. You trust God today for his mercies, grace, comfort, encouragement, strength today. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, Jesus says. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, unto today, is the trouble thereof. The answer for tomorrow isn't to worry about it. I'm not saying don't take precautions. I'm not saying that there isn't a case for planning things, but there's a difference between planning and panic and worry and fretting and just taking reasoned steps because this makes sense and then not worrying about it. And just moving ahead in life and trusting God to lead you and guide you and taking the steps that he shows you. The answer isn't worry. It's to rest secure in the promises of God's mercies, in God's promise that his mercies, the mercies that he gives tomorrow, will be more than enough to handle whatever pressures come tomorrow. So here, I want us to give our thinking back to that passage we began with, Lamentations chapter 3. Okay, the prophet says, it is of the Lord's mercies. And that's a word that really speaks of God's loving kindness, his loyal, unchanging, unwavering, committed love for us. It's of the Lord's mercies, his loving kindness, that we are not consumed because his compassions, his mercies, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, the word picture here is of a new day. Here in the Midwest, thunderstorms are a common thing. You know, and I think early on after we moved here, I had maybe mentioned to you that, Oregon doesn't have thunderstorms. And when we moved here, after we had been here a little bit, one of my daughter's friends came to stay with us, and there was a thunderstorm, and it was the first time in her life that she had ever experienced such a thing, and she was really struggling. It was a fearful thing if you've never seen lightning, if you have never heard a big clap of thunder. You know, it's kind of like the sky is falling. What is going on here? You know, but we're used to that. And it's not an uncommon thing to go to bed at night and it's raining hard and there's thunder and there's lightning and you know, you don't want to go outside because it's kind of ominous and you'd be really wet in about 10 seconds, you know. So you go to sleep and you get up in the morning and the storm has passed. And the early morning sun is rising and the robins are singing. And it's a new day. It's a fresh day. And the storms of yesterday are now past and you're moving on to a new day. Now, it may storm again, but the sun will come out again too. And Jeremiah is kind of giving us that word picture that, you know, you may feel under the pressure and the threat and the ominous overcast elements of life of a storm. But, you know, come tomorrow, there's going to be new mercies from God. Now, the storm may still be there, but there's going to be new mercies from God. And in the spiritual sense, it's like just that new sunny morning, clear, calm, bright, warm, birds singing, everything that just makes you feel good about life. You know, our God makes us feel good about life, even in trials. And his mercies and his compassions, his kindness to us, his strength, it is new every morning. Yes, there will be new pressures, but the sun will come up. God will be there. His mercies and compassions, there is no limit to them. And God will pour them upon you with each new day. Remember when Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Remember how God fed them? Right? He brought the manna. And there would be manna each morning for them to collect. Now, it was a miraculous thing. You know, it wasn't just that somebody planted seeds and it sprouted. It was just miraculously, there was the manna lying on the surface of the earth every morning. And it was God's perfect provision. And God gave them all that they needed, you know, to sustain them and to strengthen them. But he only gave it to them one day at a time. And if they tried to store it up, they couldn't. It would go rancid, right? They were to only collect what they needed, and it would only be good to eat for one day with one exception. The day before the Sabbath, you could collect an extra day because you didn't pick up the manna on the Sabbath. You know, just further evidence that this is God's miraculous provision. But it was day by day by day by day. And God was showing Israel that you can trust me. I'll take care of you today. And then tomorrow, I'll take care of you again. And then the next day, I'll provide for you again. And the next day, I'll provide for you again. But you don't have to try and solve the problems of 4 days from now. You don't have to try to collect the food for 4 days from now. You just take what you need today and go through the day. And tomorrow is a new day. And my provision and my mercies and my compassions, they will be new and fresh and all that you need again tomorrow, just as they are. Folks, that's how we need to depend on God's mercy, one day at a time. God doesn't give you the strength for tomorrow's burdens until tomorrow. He gives you the strength for today's burdens today. You are given mercies today for today's troubles. Yes, there will be more troubles tomorrow. Tomorrow's challenges will be new, but so will God's abundant mercies. You know, we sing that hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," but I wonder if we really believe it. I mean, I understand we believe it, but, you know, do we really live it? Does it show that we believe it? You know, do you believe that our God is a faithful God who loves you with an infinite and everlasting love, and therefore anything that happens in your life, it's from His loving hand, and therefore it's a good thing? And it may be a hard thing, it may be a pressure-packed thing, it may be a sorrowful thing, but it is a good thing from a good and loving God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is intensely interested in you? Not just all of us, but you personally, individually, in every detail of your life, He cares for you. His Word tells us that. Do you believe that He's compassionate, that He is wise, all wise, that He is powerful, that there is nothing He cannot do? So if we are struggling against the coronavirus, just to use that as an ongoing example, it isn't because God couldn't stop it in a heartbeat if He wanted to do that. But He has purposes. Whatever challenges you're facing, if they are still there, that means that God is allowing them for a particular reason. And it's a good reason. And you can trust Him through that. You may still be asking Him for deliverance and for relief. I understand that. But I hope that you are just simply trusting in His all-sufficient grace, whatever He brings into your life. Sometimes He gives us pain. Sometimes He gives us pleasure. But it's always for good. And He's always in complete control and always ready with a rich new supply of His grace. Folks, do you believe that? And if you believe that, are you still worrying? Because if you believe that, that's the answer to not having to be so worried. I realize there's, you know, we're emotional critters, and, you know, and things can pop into our minds, but we can turn back to the promises of God's rich provision, of His abundant supply, of His unlimited compassions and mercies that He gives every day, sufficient for the day. And we can trust in Him. You know, that's our God, who gives strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And I just want to encourage you to look to Him for mercy and compassion in the face of today's trial, but just focus on today's trial. Don't worry about tomorrow's. We'll face tomorrow when it comes. We don't have to deal with it today. There's a poem that my mother-in-law has in her home. And over the years, it's become a favorite of mine. I have read it hundreds of times. And I know I've shared it with here in a sermon at some point, at least once. Maybe it's been more than that. But even if you've heard it before, I trust it will be a blessing. And the name of this poem is "He Leads the Way," and it's an anonymous author. But it says this: "He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But He will say, 'This is the way. By faith, now walk ye in it.' And I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, His grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave His Son holds all my moments in His hand and gives them one by one." You know, folks, it's a blessed thing that we can't control our lives. Because if we could, we'd mess it up. But the God who gives us our moments one by one, He is in control, and He does it well. And we can trust Him. So there's no need to worry. We need to just stop worrying and keep praying and keep trusting. And God will give you all the strength you need, all the grace you need, all the mercy you need, all the encouragement you need, but He'll give it one day at a time. Our Father, we are thankful for the encouragement we find in Your Word. And the Scripture is just filled with passages and with principles that remind